Screen Directors Playhouse stars Charles Boyer, Mercedes McCambridge, production Backstreet, director Robert Stevenson.
This is the Screen Directors Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by Cannon Towels, famous for color, for design, for durability. Among towels, America's number one bestseller. By the makers of Anison for the fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Tonight, the Screen Directors Playhouse is pleased to present transcribed A Memory Revisited. Our adaptation is the motion picture story Backstreet, and our stars are Charles Boyer and Mercedes McCambridge. Before we present the first act, here is Mr. Charles Boyer.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. When Miss Fanny Hurst first wrote her novel, Backstreet, the entire country was moved by its heartbreaking romance. Since then, the story has been told twice by motion pictures, and has been a real joy to all of us who have been associated with it.
Thank you, Mr. Boyer. And now for a special announcement about Cannon Towels. Always good news. Cannon Towels are today's big news.
Hurry, 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 hurry to the greatest May towel sales in history. Famous Cannon Towel sales. Packed with value. Big, beautiful buys. Terrific bargains. Don't miss them. Get to your store now and get in on these great money-saving events. Cannon Towels give you the most for your money in beauty, value, lovely color, and design.
Cannon Towels absorb more, wear longer, stay lovely longer.
No wonder more people buy Cannon Towels than all other towels combined. Get the most for your money. Get Cannon.
Big, fluffy, thirsty Cannon Towels.
As summer comes, you always need more towels. Now's the time to get them. And the towels to get are Cannons, right now in these big Cannon towel sales. See them in your newspaper. Get to your store quickly. Get in on the big, big, big Cannon values.
Now for the first act of the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of Backstreet, starring Charles Boyer in his original role of Walter Saxel and Mercedes McCambridge as Ray Smith. On a lovely spring day in the 19th century, Ray Smith, the most popular shopkeeper in Cincinnati, strolls slowly through the railroad station, arm in arm with her favorite traveling salesman, Ed Porter.
Sorry I couldn't buy more this trip, Ed.
Look, honey, as long as I get one look at you every time I come to Cincinnati, I feel that my trip's paid for.
No wonder you're the star salesman for Mackelson and Fogarty.
Yeah, but when they hear about the price I gave you on that silk braid, they'll think I've gone daffy. And I know they will. Say, you know something?
What?
That locomotive reminds me of your stepmother.
I bet it'd be a whole lot more pleasant to live with.
All the old girl needs is a bell and a cowcatcher.
Say, who was that new boy at the hotel?
Harry? Mm. Yeah, he's pretty fresh for a newcomer, isn't he?
He certainly is.
Well, they got to get to know you, Ray. You come in looking like a rose, everybody loves you, you act like you love everybody. So naturally, every once in a while, a guy steps out of line.
Yes, I guess that's true.
You took care of him, all right. I heard him ask you to go to New York with him. And I heard him ask you for a date Sunday night.
And did you hear my answer?
Yeah, you said, wonderful, be sure and call for me if there's a full moon by 12 o'clock noon.
Everybody laughed, Ed, but that Harry didn't. I don't think he's like the rest of you boys. I don't like him.
Ah, he's riff-raff. Sells buggy whips. But speaking of New York, Ray, you wouldn't like to run down there, would you?
I'll think about it.
You always say you'll think about it, but you never do it. You know I'm very fond of you. Listen, here's what we could do. We could meet on the train, see? You could get your own ticket as soon as you get to the station. No one would know. I didn't say anything.
Seems like I have to slap your face once every time you come to town.
Yeah, I guess I just can't take no for an answer.
That's what makes you such a good salesman.
But I always miss the good deals.
Ah. Well, here. There. You feel better?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Thanks, Ray. It's going to be real lonely, though. Hey.
Hello, Mr. Saxel.
Oh, hello. How do you do?
Fine, Mr. Saxel, fine. How's everything down in little old New Orleans?
Oh, very good.
Now, what are you doing up here in Cincy?
Just stopping over for a few hours. I'm going out on the Louisville boat tonight.
Hey, I've got to get going. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
No, of course not.
Glad to see you again. Well, goodbye, Mr. Saxel. Hey, goodbye, Ray. Hey, I'm still carrying your braid.
Here you are. Catch. Oh, I forgot, Mr. Saxel. I want you to meet a friend of mine next to you there. Ray Smith, sweetest little peach in Cincinnati. Show him around, Ray. But be careful of him, Ray. He's one of those Louisiana Frenchmen.
Goodbye, Ed.
Goodbye.
You haven't the faintest idea who he is, have you?
No, no idea. I know his face, though.
Ed Porter.
Oh, yes, with Mackelson and Fogarty in New York. You see, I may not remember faces, but I never forget names.
What's mine?
Yours?
He just told you.
Yes, I know he did. Miss,
Smith.
Ah.
Ray Smith.
Smith. Oh, well, it's very difficult, Miss Smith.
Oh, go on. You can't remember Smith, you can't remember anything.
Well, I try very hard never to forget it.
Thank you. Well, goodbye, Mr. Saxel.
Au revoir, Miss Smith.
I'm sorry, Mr. Saxel, you still have my package.
Yes, I know. I'll carry it for you.
But you're not going my way.
Oh, yes. Your way is the way I'm going.
Well, now, just a minute, Mr. Saxel.
It's all very simple. How can I possibly have supper with you if you go one way and I go the other? It wouldn't be very amusing, would it?
Well, nobody said I was going to have dinner with you.
Oh, yes. That, your friend, Mr.
Porter.
Yes, ma'am. Porter, this young lady wants to know if it is all right for her to have supper with me. Now, here is something for you. And is the answer yes or no?
Oh, yes, sir. The answer is yes.
I shall now ask the cabby.
No, please, Mr. Saxel. I must go back to the store.
To work?
Yes, of course.
I shall ask the cabby.
Please.
Cabby.
Mr. Saxel?
Drive us to the Restaurant Louis, please.
You always take young ladies you meet at railroad stations to supper?
Always.
Good evening.
It's a family custom. My father did the same thing. And my grandfather used to wait at the stagecoach stops and same thing.
Good evening, sir.
I'm wondering why I came with you.
They never know. For three generations, women have said to us, why did I come to supper with you, Mr. Saxel?
And what have you boys told them for three generations?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, very little.
And that's part of your family custom, too?
Yes, of course.
You Saxels sound very nice and very mysterious.
Do we? And what about you, Smith?
Which wine will you have, sir? The Burgundy or the Bordeaux?
Certainly.
Oh, we Smiths are an open book. Everybody knows everything about the Smiths.
Oh, no, no, not me. Tell me something about them.
No, I want to know about you.
Well, I once took my pony to the classroom the way Mary took her lamb.
Because your father did the same thing? Your grandfather?
No. No, because I had seen an educated pony once in a circus. So I thought my pony should have an education, too.
When I was seven, I wanted to drive a steam engine. But then I found out that they didn't have lady engineers.
Monsieur, we have beautiful Docker Citron and pheasant that would melt in your mouth.
Bring it. Were you very disappointed?
The duck or the pheasant, sir?
Certainly.
And then I decided I'd become a sailor.
A sailor?
Mm-hmm. I like storms. I love it when it gets dark and it thunders and the lightning zigzags across the roof. Of course, I'm scared to death, but I love it.
How about the pheasant, sir?
Hello. Oh, the pheasant. Oh, most marvelous pheasant I've ever eaten. Thank you very much. When I was a little boy, I wanted to be a pirate.
Oh, yes. That's another thing little girls could be.
I work in a bank now, and I have to live in the city.
I'd have stayed on the plantation and let them have their old bank.
Well, people want different things from life.
What do you want?
What most men want. Position, money, power.
Power, what's that? Just to be able to tell people what to do. My stepmother does that all the time.
Well, what do you want of life?
Nothing.
Oh, come, come. Everybody wants something.
I don't. I'd like to travel a little bit. I'd like to meet all kinds of people. I'd like to work someplace besides the store. I don't want anything.
Well, we are very different.
Of course we are. That's why I like to talk to you.
Your chick, sir.
Come on, tell me some more things.
Sir, your chick.
You really want to hear more?
Mister, it is late. We are close. You are the only people here for the past 2 hours. Mister, here's your chick.
Well, we start when I was 8 months old. I cut the most wonderful tools.
to hurry.
Oh, we have plenty of time. What are you going to do now? I mean, after I go away?
Well, I'll probably stand on the wharf and watch the boat as it goes out, listen to the music as it comes across the water. And then I'll go back to the store and do all that work that I should have been doing since this afternoon.
Ah, but you did something much better with those hours. You gave them to a stranger.
You're not a stranger, Walter Saxon. You're a very old friend. Or is that a silly thing to say?
No, I think it's very nice. We are old friends.
Yes. I feel I've never known anyone as well as I know you.
Ready to cast off, sir.
Well, goodbye.
Goodbye. You didn't mind.
No. But you'll have to hurry.
Well, you sound as if you really want me to go.
Well, there isn't another boat until tomorrow night.
You have to go back to work?
No. I mean, I ought to, but whether I go back to work or not, you better take this boat. I mean, I don't want you to miss it on my account. Oh, look, there goes the gangplank. You'll never get aboard now. Well, really, you can't get aboard now.
I know it.
You'll have to wait over until tomorrow. And I've never been so happy about anything in my life.
If you would like to know a quick, easy way to ease the pain of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, then by all means, try Anacin. Your own dentist or physician may at one time or another have handed you an envelope containing Anacin tablets. Then you already know how incredibly fast and effectively Anacin brings relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. For your own sake, try Anacin. Anacin is sold to you on this guarantee. If the first few tablets do not give you all the relief you want as fast as you want it, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. You can get Anacin tablets at any drug counter. Anacin comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. And now the second act of the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of Backstreet, starring Mercedes McCambridge and Charles Boyer.
I didn't leave Cincinnati the next day either. Ray and I walked to the pier and arm in arm watched the river boat pull out. Music playing, flags flying. I knew I shouldn't be staying. I knew that I had no right to this newfound happiness. But I didn't have the courage to leave it. The next morning, when I phoned Ray at the store, I found her waiting for the call. She had planned a picnic, lunch baskets and all. And by noon, we were in a quiet bit of farmland, watching great banks of fleecy clouds drift lazily across the sky.
There's a cloud up there that looks like an elephant.
Which one?
That one. Can't you see it?
No. Oh, this one looks like... What does it look like? The one with the feathers.
I don't know. I used to dream that I was falling from way up high. And then just before I'd hit the earth, I'd wake up.
Have you ever been up in a balloon?
Oh, no, but I'd love to go sometime.
It's very cold up there.
Yes, it looks warm. Where would you like to live if you could live any place in the whole world?
Oh, I'd like to live wherever I am. Places are not so different.
But if you could live any place in the whole world that you wanted to, where would you go?
I really don't know. What place do you like?
Well, my place is a mountain. A very high mountain. And it hasn't any name.
Just a mountain.
And it hasn't any houses except our house. And we'd live there all alone. And once a year, we'd come down from the mountain and go to New York.
No, not New York.
Wouldn't you like to go to New York?
But...
maybe I wouldn't like New York myself, but we could go to some city. We could go to New Orleans. We could go to... Walter?
Yes?
What's wrong?
Wrong?
Mm-hmm. And suddenly you look so practical.
Well, sometimes we have to be practical, even when we look at the sky. I'm leaving tomorrow, Ray. There is a boat at noon.
Oh.
I've been trying to tell you about it all day.
Every day you didn't leave, I said one day he will.
You see, they telegraphed today.
Well, Walter, don't look so sad about it. I know you can't put off your business forever. And I know that it can't keep you away forever.
But it will, Ray.
What? Keep you forever?
Yes.
You mean you're never coming back here? That's what you do mean. It isn't a business deal, then, is it, Walt?
My fiancée. She lives in Louisville. Our engagement is already announced.
Well, is she pretty? Never mind. I wish I could think of something to say, but I can't.
Please don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. I'm not even going to laugh. I'm not going to do anything, and I'm not going to let you say another word, not now or ever. There's that cloud. It's changed into a swan now. By the time it changes into something else, you'll be gone. And if I don't see you go, I won't mind anything else.
Ray.
Well, believe that, Walter. I won't mind at all if I don't see you go. It's changing now. It's too early to tell yet. But I think this time it's going to be a ship. Walter. Walter.
Where's your phone, please?
Hanging right there, mister.
Oh, isn't there a more quiet place?
Look, mister, it's Sunday. Oh. You're lucky to find this one. Go ahead, get down with it.
All right, thank you. 1195, please. That's right. How long before the boat leaves?
About 40 minutes.
Hello, Ray. Walter.
Walter? Oh, Walter.
Ray, I had to call you. There is something I want to tell you.
I can't hear you.
Listen, Ray, listen carefully. You must come down here right away. Right away, please.
Oh, Walter, I shouldn't do that.
What?
I said I shouldn't do... Oh, but I will, Walter, I will. I'll hurry.
Yes, hurry.
Right away. Right away, my darling.
Ah, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Anything else, sir?
Well, you might tell me where the nearest place is where a man could get married, if he wanted to.
Well, that's easy. Get married on board. We picked up a preacher at Natchez. He'll tie the knot just as tight as anybody in the wide world.
Right on the dot. When a lady says noon Sunday, I'm there at noon Sunday. Never keep a lady waiting, or she might not wait long enough.
Oh, Harry, I...
Now, where shall it be? The main highway or the country lane where the little birds sing and the chipmunks play?
Look, I can't go with you.
What do you mean I can't go myself? Look at that beautiful horse I brought with me. Why, even he would laugh at me.
Well, I'm sorry, but I made another engagement.
Well, too bad. First come, first serve.
No, I'm sorry. I have somebody waiting for me at the boat landing.
You have? Well, it just assures that Harry Niles is a good sport. If you want to meet him at the boat landing, I'll take you to the boat landing.
Oh, will you really? Oh, thank you. I'm in an awful hurry.
Well, come on then. Jump in. You'll get there a whole lot faster with this high stepper than you will in a hack.
This isn't the right way to the boat landing.
Well, it's the way we're going, sister.
Harry, you stop this horse right this minute. Oh. We're miles away.
Well, I must have made a mistake.
But you've got to take me back.
Not me. I'm not Ed Porter or one of those soft sapsuckers. You made a date with me, and now you're keeping it.
Oh, Harry, I told you this is the most important...
Yes, I know. Everybody told me. You're the girl that wraps men around your little finger. Well, you can do that to every drummer that makes this big, but you can't do it to me.
I've got to get back.
All right, go ahead. I'm not stopping you, and I'm not taking you either. You want to get to the boat landing? Get out and walk.
Pardon me. Excuse me, I'll get you. Oh, I'm sorry. Please let me show, please. Pardon me, please. I've got you.
I stayed on the dock until they were pulling up the gangplank, straining my eyes, hoping against seconds that I would see her. At the last moment, I phoned once more, and her stepmother told me that she had gone driving with a friend. The cloud had changed again, I told myself. This time it was in the shape of a broken heart. I boarded a riverboat and wrote Finney to the episode of Ray Smith. It did not make me happy, but I was determined to forget her. I plunged into my work and found success, and with it a new life. 5 years later, in New York, I was preparing to close my desk for the day.
Walter!
Yes, Uncle Felix?
Walter, this guaranteed 7% on the preferred.
Oh, I checked that. It's a sound guarantee on the earning report.
I just wanted to be sure. Are you going to dine at home tonight?
I suppose so. I would ask you to come along and have dinner with us, but Corinne is busy with some committee and won't be home until later.
Corinne's pretty busy these days, isn't she?
Well, you know she loves to be on committees.
Well, I'll just stay and look over this report of yours again, Walter. That's a beautiful job.
Why, thank you, Uncle Felix.
And say...
Yes?
You might tell Corinne, if she lights long enough in one place to listen, that I said her husband was a pretty fine banker. Good night.
Good night.
Miss.
Yes?
I beg your pardon, but...
Walter Saxon. How are you?
Why, Ray. Ray Smith. What are you doing here in New York?
I live here.
No.
Yes, I have for almost 5 years.
You haven't changed. Well, you have a little bit. It's good.
Oh, I've done very well. I'm designing clothes for the biggest ready-to-wear house in the city.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And you, you're a big, important New York banker.
Oh, well, I'm in the banking business. Just around the corner, Darren and Holmes. And I am the very conceited father of a son.
You are? Congratulations.
I can't get over this.
Yes, I must have passed this corner dozens of times.
Well, that's funny. I go by here every day.
I've often wondered if I'd ever run into you.
Well, now that you have, let's have dinner together.
Oh, aren't you expected at home?
No, no. I very often stay downtown.
Well, Walter, I...
Maybe you are married and expected home yourself?
No, but I have an appointment.
Oh, is it with somebody very special?
Oh, just a friend.
Oh, then break it. Come on, please. Once every 5 years is not too often to have dinner with an old friend. Now tell me, Ray. Tell me. Why didn't you come to the boat landing that Sunday?
Oh.
I didn't mean to ask you that. I'm sorry.
No, I've been thinking about it all evening.
Of course, I was very disappointed. I think I was jealous, too, after I spoke to your stepmother. But the minister, oh, he was furious. Mind you, it was to be his first wedding aboard ship.
Wedding?
Yes. I had everything arranged. Oh, it was to be a big surprise for you. But it really was a big surprise for me when I found that you had gone out with somebody else. What's the matter? Ray, what is it?
I didn't go out with somebody else.
You didn't?
I was only trying to get to you. I think I've been trying to get to you all my life, but I'm always just a little late. Like that day in Cincinnati, I stood there on the dock and watched the boat until it disappeared.
If only I'd known.
Everything would have been different.
Let's not talk about it. It's just something that might have happened and didn't.
I've never forgotten you. Not for a moment.
Walter, we can't see each other again.
But I have to see you.
Oh, it's too late. It's been 5 years. We're not the same people. You have your life. I have mine.
I'm not sure it's too late, Ray.
If only we hadn't met today.
But we did.
Oh, please, Walter, don't. No, don't touch me. I'm frightened.
You mustn't be.
Aren't you?
Yes. We were meant to be together, Ray. That's why we met again. I've always known that it would happen. One day.
And now, this is Jimmy Wallington again. And here's a word from RCA Victor. It will pay you to remember this name, the RCA Victor Regency. Yes, remember the Regency. Remember the Regency when you buy television. If it's value you want, remember the Regency. If it's performance you want, remember the Regency. If it's quality you want, remember the Regency. Here is the world's finest television at a low cost that will amaze you. RCA Victor 17-inch million-proof television. Quality proven in over 2 million homes. Television with the clearest, brightest, steadiest pictures ever. And the Regency is more than a television set. Its superb console cabinet is a fine furniture piece, too. A magnificent example of RCA Victor craftsmanship that you will be proud to have in your home. The Regency, the console television that brings you more for your money. So write that name down now. The RCA Victor Regency. You are listening to the Screen Director's Playhouse, one of the weekly features on NBC's All-Star Festival. Brought to you by Cannon Towels, America's favorite towels that are special values now during the big Cannon Towel sales now going on at your favorite store. By the makers of Anison for the fast relief from the pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. The Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of Backstreet, starring Charles Boyer and Mercedes McCambridge, will continue in just a moment after a brief pause for station identification. This is the Screen Director's Playhouse. We continue with the third act of Backstreet, starring Charles Boyer in his original role of Walter Saxel and Mercedes McCambridge as Ray Smith.
That winter, New York took on a new magic. Life had a new meaning, and a feeling of inspiration began to creep into my work and my thoughts. I was spurred on to a success I had never imagined, and my mind was filled with a beauty I had never known before.
How do you like
it? Oh, that's charming. It's so sunny, so friendly.
Yes, I love it. I've taken a year's lease because it seems like such a happy place. It's not a bit like a New York apartment.
Tell me, am I interrupting your work?
There's nothing I like better than having my work interrupted.
Let me see the designs. Is this the newest on the drawing board?
Yes. But I'd rather hear about today in the banking world.
Oh, I'm afraid that's pretty dull conversation.
On the contrary, it's fascinating. I've been reading up on banks, and you'd be surprised at all I've learned.
I certainly would.
Did United Banking cut their dividend rate?
Now, how in the world would you know anything about that?
I told you you'd be surprised.
Well, as a matter of fact, they did.
And does anybody care?
You and I don't, but at my house, everybody cares.
Including you?
Well, I should, because at this very moment, I should be working on a statement for the press. Of course, Uncle Felix would make it, but I would have to write it.
And what will you say?
Well, I don't know. That takes some thought. Let's see. I would say the dividend cut is justified. United Banking's amortization plan is for future, or rather against future decreases in revenue.
Couldn't you just say it's a wise company that saves up something for a rainy day?
What do you say? It is a wise company
that saves up something for a rainy day.
But that's wonderful. Oh, Uncle Felix will love that. Why, that's an inspiration.
Thank you.
What are you laughing at?
I'm just wondering what Uncle Felix would say if he knew that it had been my inspiration.
He would probably fire me from the bank, and Corinne would get a divorce.
Yes. That's what I thought.
We've never talked about that, have we?
No. We never have.
Do you want me to divorce Corinne?
It would mean that you'd have to divorce so many other things besides Corinne. Your son, your career. No, Walter, I'm afraid that sooner or later you'd feel that you'd lost all those things on account of me.
Why do you say that?
Because I know how much you need them. Anyhow, I'm glad you asked me. Now, what is it that you're going to tell Uncle Felix?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Yes, it's a wise... What was it?
It's a wise company.
That saves up something for a rainy day. Excellent.
Ah, it's always an event to close the ledger on the end of a good year and look forward to the beginning of a better one.
Indeed it is.
It's too bad that you're not in Florida tonight with Corinne and Richard.
Yes. Yes, I thought I might make it, but there's been so much to do on that report.
What are you doing tonight?
Oh, nothing special. Probably stay home. I'm pretty tired.
Why don't you join us? I don't like to think of you being alone on New Year's Eve.
Well, I'm going to the club. After a shower and a clean-up, maybe I'll feel different. Supposing I give you a ring.
Fine, fine. Now, please try and make it. I suspect that you're alone far too much these days.
Well, Happy New Year, Uncle Felix.
The same to you, my boy. See you later.
I had interest in looking in Uncle Felix's eye. I had visions of being pursued to make sure that I would have a Happy New Year's Eve. And I knew that in Ray's apartment, everything was set up for a charming celebration for two. And that I was expected there as soon as I could get dressed. I hurried to the club and got myself into white tie as quickly as humanly possible. As I ran down the stairs on my way to Ray...
Happy New Year, Walter.
Oh, Happy New Year.
You didn't think we were going to let you sit by yourself in the club tonight, did you? This is no night to be alone. I've brought a rescue party.
Oh, well, it's very nice of you, but I don't want to break in on your party.
Oh, what are you talking about, Walter? Why, Corinne would never forgive me if she thought I neglected you on New Year's Eve.
Full party, Uncle Felix. Well, I think I'd better go now.
Certainly not, my boy. Come on outside a moment. I have a little present for you.
Oh, that's very kind.
You've been working pretty hard, Walter.
Well, no harder than you.
Oh, I don't mind you doing it. In fact, I think it's good for you. But hard work is no fun unless you get a reward.
No, I'm not complaining.
You're in line for bigger things. How would you like to check up on our foreign offices to take care of our European business?
Oh, this is the one job I really like.
Well, you've got the job. How soon can you leave for Europe?
Right away. I mean, next week.
Then you better telegraph Corinne to come back to New York at once. Because she's going with you.
Well, don't you think on a business trip like this, I'd better go alone? I mean, for the first time?
No, no. You'll be gone 6 months at least. Maybe more.
Well, she could join me, perhaps.
No, Walter. Either Corrine goes with you or I'll send someone else.
Oh, I see. Sounds like an order.
Let's call it a condition. A condition of the job. Corrine's been going too many places alone. And so have you. Walter, people notice these things. Not at first, perhaps, but later on.
If there is something you're trying to say, I wish you'd say it.
It isn't necessary to say everything. You and Corrine take this trip and have a good time. And beginning tomorrow, you come into the firm as a full-fledged partner. Congratulations.
Thank you. Good night, Michael Felix.
Ray. Ray.
What? Oh, hello. I thought you'd never come.
Oh, so did I. I tried to telephone. I tried to get away. I tried everything. And look at that lovely table. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it doesn't matter now. I just thought something awful had happened to you.
On the contrary, something very wonderful. In fact, something we must drink to.
Why? Well, tell me why.
Just 1 minute. Now you may drink a toast to the new partner in Darren and Holmes.
Oh, Walter, no.
That's why I'm so late. I couldn't get away from them. You would have been very proud of me tonight.
I'm always very proud of you. Here's all the luck in the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you realize how much of this is due to you?
I only know how happy I am when you're with me.
You've been a constant inspiration. You have learned almost as much about my business as I know myself after all my years of experience. Talking to you has been the basis for the soundest decisions of my career.
Thank you, darling. Good to feel that I haven't been completely useless.
Mm. My partnership has given me a new responsibility.
Of course it has.
No, I mean a specific one. I am in charge of all foreign business, and I'm going to Europe to see my branch manager.
Europe? When?
Oh, in about a week.
A week?
Yes. I will probably sail next Friday, 1 minute after midnight. It really will be Saturday. Friday is bad luck anyway.
Yes, it is.
No, it's only 5 or 6 weeks, you know.
I can't go with you, can I?
Well, you don't want to go. It's a business trip, and it won't be for long.
I want to be wherever you are. I don't care how long I have to wait to see you if I just know that there's a chance that you'll telephone or that I'll get to see you for a minute.
I can't take you, Ray.
Oh.
Well, don't you think I'm disappointed, too?
Once you said that all you wanted out of life was money and power. Well, you're getting it.
Well, I did not ask for this job, you know. They're sending me.
Don't let them send you.
What do you want me to do? Throw my chances out the window just because I have to leave New York for a few weeks?
A few weeks? You'll be gone for months, Walter. And you won't have to be alone. You'll have your friends and your business and your life.
This is my job. I thought of all the people on earth, you would understand that.
I don't want to understand it. I just don't want you to go.
No, you know very well I'd rather be here with you than any place in the world.
I guess that's all I wanted to hear you say. That's all I really need. To have you close to me.
I need you too, Ray. You believe that?
If I didn't believe it, I'd die.
Happy New Year, my darling.
Happy New Year. Dear Ray, hope to be home soon. Dear Ray, sent to Switzerland. We'll be here another month. Miss you. Dear Ray, staying in England for a while. We'll sail from London to New York as soon as possible.
Hello.
Walter! Oh, my darling, I've waited and waited for this, and the day you arrive, I have to be out.
Let me look at you. No, no, no place did I see anyone like you.
Oh, I thought that you'd never come home. Oh, tell me all about your trip.
Oh, I saw so many things, met so many people, I wouldn't know where to start. We went everywhere.
And were you a big success?
Yes, the bank is very happy. Ah, but it's good to be home and see you here. I missed you.
If I'd known you were coming in today, I'd have been out on that roof watching every boat that came up the river. You've been gone such a long time.
Yes, I know. Much longer than I thought I would be. And then, when we were just about ready to sail, everything on the Mauritania was taken. So we had to wait another 3 weeks because we wanted to come back on that boat.
But I waited here the whole day at the Mauritania you got in. That must have been 5 days ago.
Monday. Well, that's right, yes.
Why haven't you come to see me?
Oh, you don't know. I've been busy every minute since we landed.
Well, you could have phoned.
Well, no, really. All those reports to make out and meetings to attend.
Walter, I'm not very important in your life anymore, am I?
Not very important? Hey, what do you mean?
Once you promised me that you'd never pretend or lie, you don't have to know.
Well, aren't you the one who is pretending now?
No.
You know that you are a part of my life. I never said you were all of it.
I thought I was more than I am.
You are the one person in the world I always want to see. You are the only one I know who has taught me that there is something more to living than work and ambition for money. That's a lot to me and to anybody.
But it's not enough.
What has changed you?
I don't know. Maybe I've changed because you have.
But I haven't. You belong in my life. You have since that first day. You will always belong in
my life. Walt.
Yes, my dear.
I'm afraid I'll always be outside your life. But... I've got to tell you something.
Go on.
While you were away, I spent most of my life right here in this room waiting. Waiting for any morsel that you might throw me, a postcard, a letter. It didn't matter. And then one day, Court Stanton came to town and looked me up.
Court Stanton?
Yes, he's a boy from home. I've known him all my life. He'd always thought that someday we'd be married. And he's become very successful. The automobile business.
Are you in love with him?
I'm going to marry him.
Are you in love with him?
I'm very glad you're back, Walter. Good night.
You know, Ray, the nicest thing you ever did was to send for me.
You're my oldest friend, Ed. That's why I asked Court to let you give me away.
Well, it's time we got on board. The Detroit Express leaves in about 5 or 6 minutes. Well, what do you know? Look who's here. Hello, Mr. Saxel. Remember me? How are things in New Orleans? Oh, I forgot you're in New York now. Been reading some great things about you. Want you to meet an old friend of mine, Miss Ray Smith. She's on her way to Detroit.
Walter.
Hello, Ray.
Oh, you two know each other? Say, I remember. I introduced you myself.
Walter, what are you doing here?
I came here to see you.
Oh, well, Mr. Saxel, Miss Smith has to catch a train.
You didn't write me, you know.
Where could I write to you?
Miss Smith's going on to Detroit tonight. She's going to be married, Mr. Saxel.
Please, Ed.
All right, Ray. Somehow I feel responsible.
Please.
I'll be on the train, Ray.
Thank you, Ed.
Oh, goodbye, Mr.
You haven't the faintest idea who he is, have you?
No, I never remember names.
Ed Porter.
Oh, yes, yes.
You heard him say that I'm going to be married.
I heard you say it, too, before. I just came because I want to wish you every happiness.
I'm going to be happy. I've known him for a long time, even longer than I've known you.
I know. I hope he'll give you everything you want out of life.
He will. I'm never going to be lonely again. I'm going to fill his whole life, every corner of it.
He will adore you. You will make a wonderful home for him. But it's good to know that you are happy and that you are doing a wise thing.
It isn't too late for me to be wise. Is it, Walter? I don't
don't know how to say goodbye, but we have to say it and mean it. This is the last time we're ever going to say anything to each other. The last time we're ever going to think about each other.
I suppose it might have been easier if I had stayed away.
I couldn't go back to just waiting. Could I? Not knowing whether I'd see you one day or the next, or for weeks or for months. Could I, Walter? Could I?
I'm not going to let you go, Ray.
Oh. And I tried so hard. Oh, Walter. What's to become of us?
Twenty years from that night in the Cincinnati Railroad Station, I boarded the Mauritania once more, this time with my wife and family. It was again a most important trip, but a trip for which I felt completely equipped and ready. Ray, who had become a master of finance, was already on board. Her shrewd thinking and ready wit had become the background of all my planning and strategy.
Dad?
Yes, Dick?
The press are on board to see you.
Oh, good. Always delighted to see them. Where are they?
I asked them to wait in the stateroom.
Oh, splendid. One day you will be a fine diplomat.
May I come with you, Daddy?
Well, of course.
I'm Blake of the Associated News, Mr. Saxel. There's a story out of Washington that you're going to Europe as head of the American Commission.
Oh, really? Oh, Mr. Blake, this is my daughter, Elizabeth, and my son, Richard.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
You're going to Deauville first, I understand, to make it look like a vacation, but your real destination is Geneva.
Well, if the story from Washington said it, it must be true.
Are you going to Paris to see the American ambassador before you go to the conference?
That is difficult to answer now.
Well, as the chairman of the Financial Commission, would you like to tell us what your policy will be on trade agreements?
I believe, gentlemen, that all news on that should come from the State Department. I really can't say a thing. I'm sorry.
You mind if we shoot some pictures?
No. Go right ahead.
We'll go out on deck.
All right. If you'll just step this way, please. Hey, you and Mrs. Sykes.
Dick, look.
What?
There she is again.
I didn't know you knew about her.
I've seen her often enough. And you can't help hearing about her. She knows we're staring. Come on.
No. I'm not going to budge. It's time somebody did something about her.
Who's going to do it?
I am.
I warned you I wouldn't see much of you this trip.
I know. I understand that. Oh, you look tired.
Oh, I am.
How late did they keep you at your conference last night?
Oh, till way after 1 o'clock. What did you do?
Went gambling.
Don't tell me you won again.
Mm-hmm.
You're too lucky. Oh, did you read my speech?
Yes, I did, and it's good. In fact, I think it's the very best one you've ever written.
We've ever written.
All right.
Well, if you like it, I know it's good.
Are you still going to Geneva tonight?
Yes. I think I should be there a few days ahead, you know, rehearse my little talk and hobnob with the diplomats. I wish I could take you with me.
You know, you can't possibly... One little bit of malicious gossip and the best chance of your life would be gone.
Ah, who is being careful? And ambitious, too.
Only for you.
Same old way. You never change.
That's a fine thing to say to a gray-haired old lady.
The very prettiest gray-haired old lady that a gray-haired old man ever said it about. Well, good night, my dear. As soon as I get back from Geneva, we'll have a whole day to spend together.
Don't worry about me. I shall be very happy at the casino. Good luck.
Just a moment.
I think you know who I am, Miss Smith.
Of course. You're Richard Saxel.
I followed you here from the casino. I knew you couldn't have retired. I wanted you to know that I've known about you for years.
I see.
I didn't come here to argue with you. I came here to warn you. Leave us alone, Miss Smith. Just get out of our lives.
Please, I think you'd better go.
Not until I know that you'll leave us alone. I'll see to it that you lose nothing by it. Materially, that is.
Get out.
Hello, Richard. What are you doing here?
I've got a right to be here.
I didn't question that, my boy. I merely asked you what you were doing here.
You ought to know that without asking me.
Sit down, Richard. I want to talk to you. Sit down. Long before I married your mother, years before you were born, I met Ray Smith. And for 25 years, we've loved each other. I suppose you are still too young to know just how long that is, or what it is meant to me. If I were to try to tell you all there is to say about Ray, you couldn't possibly believe it. For here is a woman who has completely sacrificed her entire life to make one man happy and successful.
What am I supposed to do? Start cheering?
You are supposed to understand. If you are big enough.
And if I'm not big enough?
Then, my boy, I'm afraid you're supposed to mind your own business. And get out!
I'll get out. But I can have my opinion. For 25 years, you've been selfish enough to sacrifice all of us for her.
Give me a glass of water, please.
Yes, of course. Why did you come back from Geneva so soon?
I've been removed as head of the commission.
Walter, why?
I don't know. It was all very official and very polite.
Did they hear about us?
I tell you, I don't know. I don't mind losing that job. All I want to do now is rest.
First your son, and now your best chance. And I've cost you both of them.
Don't ever leave me, Ray.
Oh, I won't. You know I won't.
Well, tomorrow is our day together. We'll have the whole day to ourselves. I'll come over for breakfast in the morning. Would you like that?
You look so tired.
Oh, no, I feel fine.
Let me hold your coat for you.
Thank you. What did Richard say before I got here?
Oh, nothing, nothing that matters. Now you go. Get some sleep. Good night, darling.
Good night.
Yes?
Richard, I want to speak to you.
I don't want to discuss it.
Sit down. I want you to know. I want you...
Dad? What is it? What is it?
I don't know.
Here, let me help you. I'll get Mother.
No, not a... Phone. Phone.
I won't.
Richard. Phone. Get me. Get me Montparnasse.
Montparnasse?
Yes. 6754.
Montparnasse. 6754.
Give it to me.
Yes?
Ray?
Walter? What is it? What's happened?
Ray?
Walter? I'm here. I'm listening. What is it?
Forgive me, Ray. Forgive.
Dad? Dad?
I never saw you again, Walter. But you're still with me. You're here now in this very room. I can feel you. All around me. Your son was here. And now he's gone to get a doctor for me. He doesn't know it's too late. He was nice to me, Walter. He could have been my son. Our son. Had I met you at the boat landing on that Sunday all those years ago.
Thank you, Charles Boyer and Mercedes McCambridge, for a magnificent performance. Our stars will return in just a moment with screen director Robert Stevenson. Next week, the Screen Directors Playhouse will present for the first time on the air that great Paramount production, Beyond Glory. And our star will be Alan Ladd with Peter Hansen and screen director John Farrell. Now, here again are tonight's stars, Charles Boyer and Mercedes McCambridge.
You have heard of the amazing things that happen in Hollywood. One of them is that a good picture can emerge with the strange chemistry of people behind it. For instance, Fanny Hurst wrote a story of Middle West America. I was forgiven my accent by a line in the script making me a Louisiana Frenchman. Our director, possibly the most important ingredient, was chosen. Why? Because, naturally, he was an Englishman.
Oh, but how do you explain Margaret Sullivan?
Oh, my dear, you don't have to explain Margaret Sullivan. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present our director, Mr. Robert Stevenson.
Thank you, everyone. And Charles, you are as convincing as you were 11 years ago.
Well, I should be. I'm 11 years wiser.
You're a delight, Mercedes.
Thank you, Bob.
Charles, I watched your performance with the First Drama Quartet. This is really a new form of show business.
Yes, and a very exciting one.
Well, have you all broken up, Charles?
Oh, no, no. Charles Lawton, Agnes Moorhead, Cedric Hardwick, and I are all just finishing picture commitments. Then we get together again and sail for our appearances at the Festival of Britain.
Well, it's terrific. Everyone should see it. And when you come back, let's you and Mercedes and I make a picture together.
I know. Let's make it a sequel.
All right. Let's call it Black Street.
Oh.
Fanny Hurst wouldn't mind.
Oh, yes, she would. I represent Fanny Hurst.
Walter O'Keefe. Since when have you been representing Fanny Hurst?
I don't, but I had to find some way of getting on.
You've been getting on for years.
I've heard a rumor that his real trouble is getting off.
That's no rumor, Bob.
Well, you can't get off the stage tonight, Walter, without our sincere congratulations for 21 successful years in radio.
That's right, Walter. And the best of luck from all of us for the next 21 years.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night, Walter. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Photoplay Backstreet was based on a novel by Fanny Hurst and was presented through the courtesy of Universal International Pictures, who will soon release Hollywood Story, co-starring Richard Conte and Julia Adams. Charles Boyer will soon be seen in the Paramount production Rage of the Vulture. Mercedes McCambridge can currently be seen in the United Artists production The Scarf. Included in tonight's cast were Dick Crenna, Herbert Rawlinson, Eddie Marr, Peter Leeds, Norma Jean Nielsen, and Bob Bruce. Backstreet was adapted for tonight's performance by Nat Wolfe. Screen Directors Playhouse is produced by Howard Wiley and directed by Bill Karn. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. This is Jimmy Wallington speaking and inviting you to listen next week when the Screen Directors Playhouse presents Beyond Glory, starring Alan Ladd with Peter Hansen and screen director John Farrell. Tomorrow, The Man Called X brings Mystery Excitement on NBC.